The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to be back with y'all.
Two Saturdays ago, Eric and I walked down the aisle of All Saints Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, and we stood before the altar of the Lord and prepared to give ourselves to one another in marriage. Every Episcopal wedding begins with the same words spoken by the officiant. "Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God to witness and bless the joining together of this man and this woman in holy matrimony." Then goes on to say, "The union of husband and wife in heart, body, and mind is intended by God for their mutual joy." Joy. That is God's purpose in the sacrament of marriage. He wants for us nothing more and nothing less than joy. Too often, we Christians kind of forget about joy, or we undervalue it. We like to think of ourselves as serious people with a serious faith that has serious responsibilities. And that is true. Taking up our cross and following Jesus is absolutely serious business. Discipline, sacrifice, service, all of these are essential to the faith. But the mistake that we too often make is that we fail to take our call to joy as seriously as we take everything else. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus says to his disciples, "I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Jesus says this near the very end of his earthly life, during his Last Supper with his disciples, just hours before he is arrested and crucified. In these last precious moments with his friends and followers, Jesus gives them his final instructions. And central to this final message is joy. Jesus reveals the purpose of his teachings, his deepest hope for his disciples. He says, "I have told you all these things so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete." In other words, all the teaching, all the commandments, all the parables, they were all to help you be more joyful. Unfortunately, we often have kind of a vague sense that God is disappointed in us, that God is always wanting and expecting more from us than we can give. But this is far from the truth. God created us so that we could share in his joy. God doesn't just grudgingly accept us. God delights in us like a groom delights in his bride. That's what Paul frequently uses, that metaphor. God is joyful, and Jesus invites us to partake of that joy by abiding in the love of God. It's worth taking a moment to notice that there is a difference between joy and happiness. Jesus isn't telling us just be happy and smiley all the time and ignore the things that make you sad and it'll be fine. That's not at all. Joy is much, much deeper than happiness. Joy doesn't depend on our external circumstances, on how our day is going, or whether or not we spilled coffee on our shirt on the way to work. Joyfulness is a practice. It's a state of mind and a state of the heart and a choice. So we can be joyful even when we face the darkest trials, because true joy springs forth when we remember that we are God's beloved, that God delights in us, and that God is always with us. So, how can we allow God's joy to permeate our lives? How can we intentionally practice being joyful as Jesus wants us to be? Well, for one thing, we can celebrate. Coming fresh off a wedding at the end of the weekend, my sister said, "Why don't we do this kind of thing more often?" And not just weddings, but why don't we just get together more and tell each other we love each other and eat good food? Why don't we do that more? So one way to cultivate joyful living is to celebrate weddings, birthdays, anniversaries, the birth of babies, our church festivals. You can really make up any excuse to celebrate something. Jesus himself, if you need a little inspiration, Jesus was criticized for being too much of a partier, basically. The Pharisees criticized him, saying, "You spend too much time hanging out and having fun and eating dinner with your friends. You should be more serious." So we can follow in the footsteps of our spiritual leader by celebrating more often. Of course, we can be joyful in the daily moments of our lives as well. We can really savor that cup of coffee in the morning, or we can listen to music that we love. And central to the life of joy is prayer and worship. Prayer and worship root us in the love of God. That's how we abide in God's love. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." God does not want to pile up heavy burdens on our backs. God wants us to be joyful. God's burden is light and easy because Christ has carried the weight of it for us. So we just get to celebrate that every day and be joyful. Every single day, we get to love God and be loved by God, till death do us part and beyond. Amen.